And now it's time for Foodstuffs, our regular look at food and food culture in the Granite State. Our reporter in the Upper Valley met up recently with someone who has a particularly quixotic culinary side hustle. He's trying to cultivate a specific kind of mushroom that has long mystified growers. NHPR's Brita Green reports.
For Tad Montgomery, this whole endeavor starts with a story from his childhood in the Midwest. As he tells it, he was working out in the garden with his mom and siblings when a thunderstorm rolled in and they all ran under a nearby tree for shelter.
And my sister, Winifred, said, "Mom, what are these things? They're really weird."
His mom, looking at his sister's discovery, had no clue. But being an amateur naturalist, she piled the kids in the car, samples in hand, and drove them, soaking wet, to the library. They opened their hands to the librarian when they walked in the door.
And she looked at us and she stood up and she said, "Morels! You found morels!"
And so began Montgomery's lifelong pursuit of one of the most desired fungi. Picture a cone-shaped mushroom with a brain-like cap sitting low on the forest floor. Cooks love them, says Bill Bakaitis, a mushroom expert based in New York.
And the way you cook them is garlic and butter. Anything cooked in garlic and butter is going to taste great.
Bakaitis actually recently added some flair to his own personal morel cooking repertoire.
Because I started with garlic and butter, and then I flamed them in cognac, and then I added cream and finished with Madeira. Why, hell yeah, they tasted good.
And aside from the taste, Bakaitis says what makes these mushrooms particularly enticing is that they can be difficult to find in the wild.
Economically, they're scarce. Okay? Anything scarce is going to command a price.
Here in the Northeast, some of the best farm-to-table restaurants will pay upwards of $20 per pound for morels. And that's why people all over the world have been trying to figure out how to farm them, like any other crop. It's something of a holy grail in mushrooming circles. Montgomery's pretty good at finding them in the woods. He sells them to chefs in the Brattleboro area where he lives. But this work he's doing in the orchard, it's part of his stab, quite literally, at cultivating them as well.
I am now taking a pitchfork and fairly lightly just plunging it into the soil.
After making holes in the ground at the base of a tree, he reaches for a bucket with a secret liquid mixture containing morel spores. Those are the reproductive unit of the mushrooms. He scoops out cupfuls of that liquid and pours it over the holes he's made on the ground.
Everybody who knows anything about mushrooms knows that morels grow in apple orchards.
Steve Wood watches as Montgomery works. Wood's been operating the business here, an orchard and cidery, for decades. As he points out, morels are known to favor certain trees. In the Northeast, many mushroom hunters will tell you to look under elm or ash, and also apple trees. That's why Wood's letting Montgomery experiment on his land.
Where do you want this pitchfork when I'm done with it?
And for Montgomery's part, he's hoping orchards are the key to this cultivation business, an idea that others haven't quite caught on to yet.
1, 2, 3, 4.
He flips through a little brown notebook, ticking off sites where he's spread his liquid mixtures.
12, 13.
He's been trying for several years now.
14.
But here's the thing.
I haven't had any success yet. None.
Now that we're headed into summer, the morel season's ending for the year. Maybe next spring, Montgomery says, smiling. You never really know when they'll pop up. For NHPR News, I'm Brita Green.